because Jesus came when we prayed about it and delivered us from all our sin. He died, but he didn't stay dead because somebody say early. Who else but God? Come on and shout yes. Who else but God? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He died. He died before supper. Come on and shout yes. Oh, come on and say yes. He was betrayed before breakfast. He died before lunch. He went to the grave before supper and before breakfast one more time. He got up early. Before the eggs hit the pan, they say, early, he rose from the dead with all power in his hand. Is he all right? I say, is he all right? Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. I say, do you know he's all right? Say, I may not know. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. I came to let you know that God is hearing my prayer, and I might not know three things, and I might not know two things, but one thing I'm sure of, I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Matthew 1:21 was read in our devotional scripture, and I'm going to read that again. Want you to stand, if you will. And I want us to look at that, but I want us to back up to the 18th verse as well. I want you to keep your Bibles open because I want you to take this little short journey with me through scriptures so that we can understand the significance of this word today. Amen. Amen. Matthew 1:21. All right, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk about the significance of Joseph in the Christmas story and the life of Christ. The significance of Joseph in the Christmas story and the life of Christ. My brothers and sisters, as I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit brought back to my attention how many times Joseph's name was called in this text. In verse 16, if you'll read there, you'll see Joseph's name is there. In verse 18, you'll see Joseph's name is there. Verse 19, Joseph's name is there. Verse 20, Joseph's name is there. And in verse 24, Joseph's name is there. Five times the Holy Spirit thought to call the name Joseph because of his significant role in the Christmas story and the life of Christ. Matthew and Luke chapters 1 and 2 give us as best of an image or picture or portrait of Joseph and the story of Christmas and the life of Christ. And it's interesting and intriguing how God used this man, Joseph. And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, you know, Jesus picked his own daddy and his own mama. And it took 42 generations for Jesus to come through the human line to get here on planet Earth. And Joseph was chosen as his earthly father or father figure. Now, I was looking at that, and man, the Holy Spirit just began to open this thing up to me and show me and share with me how significant it is, because Joseph is used here really as a pattern for men to understand the story that God himself brings to life and brings to situations. One of the things that you're going to look at is that verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, he is referring to Joseph here. Now, what I need you to see and understand about this is, if Joseph has such a significant role as to name the Son of God, it speaks about this man, certainly a esteemed and highly lifted up character of Joseph. And I'm going to walk through a few of those things and just kind of show you that. But I want to share some things with you first. If you go back through that 18 verse, just read with me if you don't mind. At verse 18, still have your Bibles open? Okay, begin reading verse 18 now. Okay, 19.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately.
Okay. Now, go on and read the next verse.
But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared and unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. All right, now, I want you to see this, because let's back up, because they are espoused. There are three stages to the Jewish wedding, especially back in Jesus's day. Phase number one, or stage number one, was the engagement. What was interesting about that was, in many Eastern countries, it's still like this today, parents engaged the children to be married while they were still children. It was either parents or professional matchmakers. That happened while the children were still children because they thought that marriage was too serious of a thing to be left to a heart that was not mature enough to make such lifelong decisions. And so the parents or professional matchmakers engaged children. The second thing about the marriage was it moved from the engagement to the espousal. The espousal. Now, what is important about that is to recognize that this was the most important part of the engagement process before the marriage, because this is where all the legalese were done, all of the signing, all of the giving of the endowments, all of the records of what would be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was in this espousal stage. And so it was at this stage that a woman could finally say, when she had met, because many times her husband to be, she had never seen. She had never met him. And so that would be sometimes the first time she would get to meet him. And if she did not want to marry him, she had that one opportunity to say, no, thank you. I don't want to get married. And that would be the time that all things would be cut off. But if she went through the espousal stage, according to the Mosaic law, they would be married for 1 year by record. By record. They weren't really married. They had signed the papers. They meant that they were all going to be married and all the agreements had been made, etc. And for one whole year, they were considered man and wife without the privileges of marriage. And so for that 1 year, if that husband had died in that 1 year before the marriage ceremony took place, there was a curious phrase called the virgin widow. Virgin widow, which meant she was married to this man according to legal papers, but they never consummated the marriage. They were never intimate together. And so she was still a virgin and yet a widow. And so one of the things that you recognize in this is that in this espousal stage, it was a very serious stage. And certainly it was that time where all things were just as committed as if they had already had the ceremony, with the exception of not being intimate for 1 year. And then the third phase would be the actual marriage ceremony called the marriage proper. The marriage proper. So it was three phases of the Jewish wedding and marriage. And so Jesus here is in the midst of this espousal state between his earthly father and his earthly mother. And she has come to him now, and he has discovered that she's pregnant. And she recognizes that this is a divine thing done in her, because Gabriel had already made mention to her that this thing would happen in her. And when he got to explain it all, and she wanted to know, well, Lord, how can these things be, seeing I know no man? And he told her it would be of the Holy Ghost, that he would overshadow her, and that she would conceive of the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, now Joseph comes and gets the message. Keep in mind, this had never happened before.
Oh, yes, sir.
And so Joseph sees she's pregnant. She's showing. She's out there. Ain't no hiding this. And so when Joseph sees her, he's taken aback by this, because, you know, one of the things you're going to note is in the scriptures, the Bible say he was a just man. In other words, he was a holy man of God. He honored God. He honored the law of Moses. He honored the word of God. And therefore, if Mary was pregnant, who you gonna think they thought made Mary pregnant? Joseph. And so he thought to put her away privily. Privily means privately, or it means secretly. And so, because he was a just man, I want to show you three things about Joseph that I think is so very interesting. One, Joseph was a man of character. Character. My brothers and sisters, when Jesus, when God the Father, and when God the Holy Spirit chose Joseph, it was because he was a man of character. He was a man of character who was devout. He loved the Lord. He had faith in God. He had faith in the word. He knew the scriptures. He knew and understood how a Christian man or a godly man would learn the word of God and teach it to his family. He knew all of those things. And so therefore, he was going to be the one who was going to influence the life of Jesus. Now, keep in mind, he is there as a figure of a father, because he's not the biological father of Jesus. But it speaks volumes about what God thought about him to select him to be Jesus's earthly father. Can I ask you a question? Who knows more about you than God? Who knows your every secret? Who knows your every thought? Who knows your every deed? Who knows everything there is to know about you more than God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? And they chose Joseph, and because he was a just man, a righteous man, a holy man, he was going to be the one that would significantly impact Jesus's life. One of the things that I want you to also understand is this. Number one, not only was he a man of character, but he was also a man of compassion. Compassion. You see, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to be the father of Jesus, and if you're going to be the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, you've got to have compassion. One, because Mary was going to have an unusual pregnancy, and you had to be a real man to handle the way Mary was going to be presented. And he had compassion because he did not want to put her away as a public spectacle because of the compassion he had in his heart for Mary. The angel comes to him and tells him, don't be afraid to take this woman. This woman has what has happened to her of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. As no man touched her. She is as holy and pure as she was the day that you all signed the papers. Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her and impregnated her, not a man. And so because Joseph was compassionate, it made him devoted to Mary, even though it brought all kinds of suspicious talk to his name. You got to realize that the people in his town knew him and knew Mary. They knew that they had not yet been married in the full sense of the ceremony, and yet Mary is pregnant, and yet he stayed devoted to her because of the character he possessed, of the compassion he possessed, and then thirdly, the commitment he possessed. Listen, my brothers and sisters, three things made him worthy in God's sight: character, compassion, and commitment made him super significant for this role. I want you to see something else, because when you look at this, you must understand that he was a devout man who had faith in God as a man of character. But secondly, as a man of compassion, he was devoted to Mary and was faithful to her. But then thirdly, he was a man of commitment and was dedicated to Jesus. Now, even though Jesus wasn't his son biologically, he held his commitment as strong to Jesus as Jesus could have ever had if Jesus had been his biological son. Now, I want you to see this, because why is this so important? In verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus." Why does Joseph call his name Jesus? Well, because it was the custom of the day that on the eighth day in Hebrew history, the father would give the official name of the child. Amen. And so God gave Joseph the honor of naming his son. Listen, God had already made it clear his name would be Jesus. But in official records, only Joseph could make it official on record that his name was Jesus, a Greek name. Jesus wasn't a Hebrew name. Just like John wasn't a Hebrew name, it was a Greek name. But look at what God did. God took John, the cousin of Jesus, and Jesus, and gave them Greek names when they were fully Hebrews. Because Jesus was going to save his people from their sins, this word "his" takes on an enlarged meaning. Originally, it meant Israel, the house of Israel, the people of God. But when it became expanded in "his," it meant the Greeks also. And so as a Greek, it meant basically the rest of the world, or whosoever will. Jesus came to save whosoever will. You remember John in chapter 1, verse 11, saying he came to his own, and his own received him not, don't you? It was then, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now listen to this. If Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, was given this man Joseph as a father figure, as an earthly father, what made Joseph so significant? Well, I told you, one, he had character, great character. Two, he had great compassion. And three, he had great commitment. Between chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew's and 1 and 2 of Luke, you see the story unfolding. Joseph was a carpenter by trade. And Jesus grew up in the house of a carpenter. And my brothers and sisters, when God sent Jesus, it was because Jesus was the greatest need for mankind. If man's greatest need would have been simply knowledge or information, God would have sent a teacher. If man's greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If man's greatest need would have been money, God would have sent an economist. If man's greatest need would have been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But God's, listen, knowing mankind, saw man's greatest need, and man's greatest need was forgiveness of sins. And so he sent his son, the Savior, Jesus the Christ. And Joseph had to be the one to give this man's name that because of the significance of what it represented. He shall save his people from their sins. Joseph brought Jesus up in his carpentry shop, taught him all of his mastery skills, showed him how to handle things that had to do with wood, etc., and making and building things. And he taught him all of the things that went along with a master carpenter. There were five different areas that a master carpenter dealt with. One, it was refinishing. Refinishing. Two, if it wasn't refinishing, it was refurbishing. If refurbishing wasn't there, then he would go on with renovation. Fourthly, if it wasn't renovation, it was restoration. But then if it wasn't either one of those fours, he would then have what they call repurposing. Now, I'm going to help you bring that all to understanding. If Jesus learned all of these skills in his father's shop, one of the things that's so interesting about this is over his father Joseph's shop had a sign, "My yokes fit well." And people who wanted the best yokes for their oxen and their animals would go to Joseph's shop because he made the best yokes. And Jesus took those lessons, and even in his teachings, when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn them." I'm not going to have somebody talk with me this morning. He said, "My yoke is easy and my..." Well, where do you think he got that yoke business from? From Joseph. Jesus, listen, had a lot of life's lessons. And when he came into ministry at 30 years old, he had had character beyond measure. I'm not talking about as the Son of God. I'm talking about as the Son of Man. He had compassion upon men, women, girls, and boys. And thirdly, he had commitment to stick to the cause. His ministry, but more importantly, his mission. And he was committed to the end. Where do you think he got that from? Joseph showed him how to be a man of character, how to be a man of compassion, how to be a man of commitment in the earth realm. Yes, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And when Joseph showed him all of these things, Jesus took all of those things. Matter of fact, Luke talks about in the end of his chapter, he says, Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor, both with God and with man. He had a balance. A balance. He got it from an earthly father who had the kind of character that God wanted his earthly son to have while here on earth. He put an example before Jesus that would be one that would be exemplary, so that Jesus would be able to see what a good man is like. My brothers and sisters, and especially sisters, Jesus, listen, had the privilege of picking his daddy and his mama on earth.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery.